This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith, as he does join me almost every Friday, is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Michael, February's gone. We've landed in March.
Yes, we have, and it's a much friendlier March so far, but just waiting to see if we're going to get another inauguration. I guess that didn't go, but anyway, so far so good in March.
Well, what is it? In like a lion, out like no. In like a lamb, out like a lion. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't. I would butcher that if I. I would rather just be in with steak and out with steak. I like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
We often talk about numbers, and almost everything we're going to talk about this week is number related. First of all, the number of firefighters in Fort Smith who've opted not to get the vaccine, it's relatively high, right?
Yeah, it's relatively disconcerting. Tina Dale, just on a whim, last week or maybe the week before, I just asked Tina Dale, our reporter, our Fort Smith Metro reporter here, just to see how many, I'd seen these reports of different vaccination rates around the country. I'm just curious about, because our first, you know, first responders in Arkansas, as they are around the country largely, were able to get the vaccine. So I'm just curious what the acceptance rate for the Fort Smith Police and Fire Department. And she came back. We don't really know with the police department. They've said that they don't, that they can, they don't really ask, they don't really probe how many received it. They did have a vaccine clinic, and 40 officers received the vaccine, including the chief of police, Danny Baker. But with the Fort Smith Fire Department, they reported back that only 63 of 145 have been vaccinated, and of the remaining 82, 81 said that they don't want the vaccine or they're going to wait for further testing. And when Tina first sent me that number, that's 56% roughly that don't want it. Not that I doubted Tina, I just said, hey, that can't be right. Maybe the fire chief was wrong with his number. You know, we transposed the number somewhere. But no, that is correct. And that's tremendously different than kind of the national acceptance rate we're seeing between 20 and 30% who reject it. And so, of course, we got a lot of traffic on that. A lot of people found that also disconcerting. And I even had a few emails from people saying, surely you need to go double check your numbers. Surely you got those wrong. And they're not. And the fire department hasn't responded yet to say we got them wrong. What's interesting is that it's kind of a mixed bag response from the city directors. We've had a couple city directors say, well, you know, really all the city can do is educate and hope they get vaccinated, but if they don't, they don't. And we've had a couple other directors who say, this is not good. It's not good enough. We need to look at ways we can, maybe incentivize or encourage more firefighters to do this. I know in the public sector, for example, you have many companies who, or I say many, you have a growing number of companies who provide bonuses. For example, right. Kroger has a $100 bonus to employees. Other companies will give you 2 to 4 hours of extra pay for the week if you can show them that you received the vaccine. So there are things that can be done to encourage firefighters. I think part of the concern, Kyle, is that these men and women with the Fort Smith Fire Department, they're out, obviously, in the public helping people. I've been told of, you know, instances where somebody said, hey, the fire department showed up and helped my elderly parents who had fallen or whatever. Well, you know, if they're going to be out in public helping the public, that's the one group you definitely want to take advantage of the vaccine. So I don't, like I said, I think disconcerting is the best word. We'll see if maybe there's some effort to encourage more acceptance. And hopefully we'll get some more definitive numbers from the police department also about how many police officers have received the vaccine.
All right, more numbers. Fort Smith metro area building permits published midday Thursday on talkbusiness.net. What do these numbers tell us?
Well, they tell us that that pace that was just on fire in 2020, which still just boggles the mind, that the Fort Smith, the three cities we measure, which are Fort Smith, Van Buren, and Greenwood, they set a record in 2020 for building permit values, almost $265 million. It was up 9.5% over 2019. You don't see a 9.5% in good years, much less pandemic, you know, once in a century pandemic years. But for the first 2 months, the permit values in those three cities are down 25%. In Fort Smith, permit values down 30%. They're down a little over 7% in Van Buren. But in Greenwood, they're up about 185%. But that was from some easy comparables. But I think what we're seeing, speaking of comparables, is just that you're up against some pretty high numbers in 2020. So there's some tough comparisons there. And also, if we remember, some of the key projects in the Fort Smith millage, the Fort Smith schools millage, were permitted in 2020. So we're going to have that will skew the numbers somewhat in 2020 and create a tough comparison in 2021. But I'm not surprised. Anecdotally, we're also hearing a little bit about the price of lumber, the price of other building materials going that are high right now. And I don't know if that's resulting in some people maybe waiting down the road. Also in February, I think we had a couple of snow events, didn't we, in February?
Yes, we did.
People typically don't like to start digging ground when it's, you know, negative 20 degrees outside. Maybe that had some factor. It's just 2 months, not a trend. I'm one of those guys, I like to see 3 or 4 months before I start thinking trend. So we'll see what the next few months holds.
Well, we know that those winter events played a part in an increase in water leaks, pipes freezing and whatnot. And the Fort Smith Board of Directors talked a little bit about water rates and adjusting for this unusual circumstance this week.
Yep. And kudos to the board stepping up, they've been somewhat aggressive right out of the gate, making sure that citizens who had legitimate water leaks, pipes busting and what have you, aren't penalized or have huge debts to pay. So the board did vote to allow water leak adjustments on the water and sewer portions of the bill. Customers have to provide, and this is, I'm probably going to get this number wrong, but it's around 30,000 folks. It's not a small number of folks who are in the water system. I'm not saying, I don't know how many had water leaks, obviously not that many.
Right.
But they have to provide some kind of invoice from a plumber or receipt to show that there was damage and that repair was done. And then what the city will do, well, they'll go back, adjust the customers. They'll look at their average past 6 months of water and sewer usage and adjust for that. So let's say you had a leak and your water bill was $200, but you go back and adjust and maybe that bill is just now $40. So again, that seems like a very reasonable and responsible action, and kudos to the city for acting pretty quick to make that happen.
Finally, have we wrapped up what's going to happen with Fiona Hills Golf Course now?
Oh gosh, no. I mean, this whole issue is about as bad as my golf game. It seems to be in the weeds quite a bit. But no, the Fort Smith board again tabled. There's an effort to replat, which is essentially a fancy word, to reuse portions of the Fiona Hills golf course, essentially turn them residential, allow people that are living adjacent to the course, that can be part of their backyard, so to speak. But that's run up against some folks who still want to try to bring the Fiona Hills Golf Club back to life. You know, it shut down in December 2018, and the owner, David Millay, has shown absolutely no interest. In fact, I think he's made it difficult for some folks to buy it and try to bring it back to use, both the club and the golf course. The board again delayed or tabled an effort to replat some of those properties on the golf course, and I think they're still just hoping, and maybe we should give them a good grade for optimism, or but they're hoping that there can be some kind of deal between some of the property owners up there and some other folks with David Millay to put that back to use as a golf course. Because once you start, once you take away just one or two pieces of the club, you've that's it. You know, I mean, if you're familiar with golf, it's going to be kind of hard to play through somebody's backyard, you know, on one of the on one of the holes. So that's what they're up against.
We haven't talked the last of that, I'm sure. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. We talk to him almost every Friday. You can find out more about these stories and many others at talkbusiness.net. Michael, thank you. Talk to you next week.
All right. Hey, I always appreciate the time you give us. Thanks.